Hello, Columbus, Chattahoochee Valley, all my friends down near the Georgia, Florida line. Oh my God, I know it's been a while since you guys have heard my voice. We've had a couple months of a break here, and we are back in the swing of things, and I tell you, I'm just so excited to be coming back on the air. I've seen and talked to so many of you who have said, Teddy, when are you coming back? So I am officially back, and just like every other aspect of our lives, we're having to navigate this coronavirus and the dangers that come with it. And of course, you know, many of you know from listening previous times before that my wife is a doctor. So, of course, I've been in the middle of everything that's going on and hearing about it at home and, you know, spraying her on the front porch with the water hose. No, just kidding. It's not quite that bad. But she's still making provisions when she comes into the home to make sure that our three-year-old is in a healthy environment. And, you know, and I talk to you guys a lot about what's going on in my house, because I want you to know that we're not exempt from the everyday problems and challenges of other people. And so that really steered how I wanted my first show back to go. And I'm excited today about the guest that I have here. And I have so many questions that I have for her, because I just want to dive in and talk about some things, about family issues, about life, about, you know, just coping and things of that nature. And so we have with us today an extremely amazing and talented young lady. Her name is Miss Marnice Roberts. She resides in Michigan, but she has Georgia ties now. I want you to hold on. She has some Georgia ties. And so we are just so fortunate to have her with us today on Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. She is an official life coach. And when I tell you, sister is bad. I mean, at one point, she even worked here in Columbus with Davis Broadcasting, and she's a life member of Alpha Kappa Alpha. Her husband is an Alpha. You know, I love all that kind of stuff that's going on. 8506, 0608. The rest is just that's too right. late, but we're going to leave that alone. But just moving forward, Ms. Roberts, how are you doing today?
I am fabulous. Thank you so much. So very much, Mr. Reese, for having me on. This is truly a pleasure. You know, they say there's no place like home.
There's
and
no place like home.
Coming back to Columbus is a blessing. So I am excited to be here.
Absolutely. Well, we're so glad that you're back here with us, and particularly having this conversation here today, because, you know, Ms. Roberts, I know things are probably just as challenging in Michigan as they are here in Georgia, but we are right on the edge of parents beginning to contemplate, am I going to send my child back to school, or will we try to do some type of education-based program at home? And then in that, Ms. Roberts, because I want you to just tell us what you're thinking with just me just throwing this out there. In that, we have to also keep in mind those parents, like a parent like my mom would have been, a single mother raising me by herself, working two or three part-time jobs. That's really not much of an option for her. She doesn't have that option. So how just talk. What's on your heart right now about, you know, what some of our parents may be going through, what some of our educators may be going through? Just speak to them for a moment, then we'll get to the questions.
Absolutely. So it is truly a new normal. This is something that we haven't gone through before, and the blessing is that we are going to get through it. Praise the Lord. I know that so many people have tried to figure out what is the secret. I don't have all the answers, but I have a couple of the secrets. And one of the main secrets in teaching or educating children is giving them a schedule. And I say a schedule for everything. You know, you set the goals and you set the expectations. But when they're getting ready for school, if we can all remember, there was a certain time you came into class, you sat down, you learned or you listened to your instructor, then you passed to the next class. You know, and then there was time for passing. After that passing, you went to another classroom and you sat down and you were educated. Then you went to the next class. So there was a system in being in school. The same with church. There's a time you stand up. There's a time you sit down. There's a time we're quiet. There's a time we, fellowship with one another. There's a time we clap. That's a schedule. And what happens is when our children are put in a position where they get to choose what to do, they don't always choose what we want them to do. So it's really important, first of all, to set goals for the day and then to have a schedule. And then I would say pack your patience, because every parent, no matter how many children you have in that home, one child could be as it could be a challenge as much as you could have, you know, if you had 10 kids in the household. The kids to have a schedule. So when you're having a schedule, you set the expectations of this is what we would do from this time to this time. Of course, you give breaks, but there is always something to do. And I would advocate, do not allow children to spend more time playing games or interacting with just friends as they spend in educating themselves. And there's a difference between, you know, playing and having fun and learning and enjoyment. I mean, there's a difference. And not everybody wants to, you know, necessarily do the educated part. They don't want to get the education through. But there's something, you can have fun in reading. You can have fun in practicing and learning and growing. And the other key is, as far as with the schedule, learning how to schedule everything, is teaching our children how to take the initiative. And I think with the decisions that are taking place now, I got to tell you, Mr. Reese, it's going to be tough. But again, we can get through this. But I think the key is everyone understanding that you are responsible for educating your child, whether it be at home or with a teacher. Even though a teacher gives instructions, it's still our job as a community, as parents, as relatives, to take the time to educate our children.
You know, you're absolutely right. And well, I was thinking about something while you were talking, and you talked about the friend aspects of things. My three-year-old, she's quick to tell me or her mom, "You're not my best friend anymore." And, you know, I'll tell her, "I don't care. I'm not your friend anyway. I'm your daddy." You know, and my wife would be like, "Well, Catherine, you know, why are we not your friend? What happened?" And I know you wrote a whole book on that, you know, friendly, not friends, how to do the hard work of parenting and still make your home fun. Like, you know, how does a parent work on it, especially during this most challenging time when your children can't go out and play with the kids that they normally play with out on the street, or, you know, you can't take them to Chuck E. Cheese's and meet new strangers and just let them play on the little choo-choo train, the little circle train that don't go nowhere, but you still have to walk around it with the child, you know. how do you get them to understand? Because this has been a shock to what they consider normalcy as well.
Sure. And we can't be so
wrapped up in trying to adjust as adults that we forget about the young kids, the small folks.
Absolutely. You know, part of it is, so yes, I did write a book called Friendly Not Friends. And one of the things in writing the book, I mean, I've got a couple of other ones coming up too, but one of the things is to help your children understand is that as a family, you're making memorable moments. Things ought to be memorable. Even the things that they don't think that are so great, as my son tells me now, who is a math teacher, said, "You know, Mom, I didn't get it when you were teaching it, when you and Dad were teaching it." He said, "But I get it now, and I'm thankful." So all the struggles that our kids see as struggles now, meaning not being able to play with their children, I mean, their friends, or not being able to do what they want to do, our job as parents and grandparents or family members or a community is to help them to understand we're creating memories. They won't get it, and they won't like it, which is okay. But the key is you can't fall back to trying to be a child's friend. I've said in other speeches, if you are trying to make your child your friend, then you need to get some more friends.
Right.
But what the children need to understand is I'm not your friend. I'm your parent, and I will be there with you forever. I will back you. I will support you, or whomever that person might be. But to put it down that I am not your friend. I am friendly with you. And so in doing that and understanding that, one of the things you want to do is make memorable moments. And what we did was, and what I do with my scholars that I instruct now, is we sat down, set a schedule, and say, this is the time we're doing this. We can do other things that are fun, but we're going to schedule it for now.
Mm-hmm.
And after they understand that, okay, you know, I know I've got to do this from, like, we start with exercise from 7:15 to 7:45. That's when we're exercising. We do devotion from 7 in the morning until 7:15. You know, but there's a schedule. So 7 o'clock to 7:15, we're doing devotion. From 7:15 to 7:45, we're doing exercise. From 8 o'clock, you get a break. But from 8 o'clock to 8:30, we're going to read. Then from 8:30 to 9 o'clock, we're going to do some summary writing. You know, what did I feel about that book? How did I like that? What didn't I like? Who are those characters? Why do they act that way? But mm-hmm. you ask questions. So, you know, understanding that time is valuable. That is the only thing we cannot buy or get back.
That's right.
So you set them up and then talk about at the end of the day, what did you learn new today? What, you know, I always ask my kids, and they're all grown now, what was the best part of your day? What was the worst part of your day? What did you learn new today? And what can you improve upon tomorrow? So it's not, it's an open-ended question where they can't answer yes, no, I don't know. No, you can tell me what you did. So when your daughter says, you're not my friend, you say, oh, good, because I'm not trying to be your friend.
Exactly, I'm your daddy.
And it's awful for parents to not want to do that. But friends will come and go. A parent is supposed to be forever.
That's right. And, but, you know, I will tell you, the one positive thing I did see in that is that it told me as a parent, because this is my first child, and no one gave me the blueprint book when I left the hospital with my baby, you know, how to be a parent. You know, I had a panic attack that first night. Like, what are we supposed to do? Like, you know, what's next? But one thing I appreciate is that it taught me that she's finally learning relationships. Like, I could tell in her own little small vocabulary at the time, that friendship word meant something to her. She was trying to say something. She was trying to convey something. And so we've been working hard to dig into that a little bit further to make sure that now she understands the basic concept of a relationship, that there are different forms of relationships.
Absolutely.
You have your mother and your father, you have your grandparents, you have your friends, you have your educators, which you need to respect while you're at school, you know, because we don't teach that enough as well right now at all, you know, about how our educators should be respected. And so, but you're right, though. And I can't wait. I'm gonna have my wife actually listen to this show with me again, because I want her to hear this, because, you know, this is going to be so important for us, especially as young parents, you know. And we have just a few minutes before we take a break. But I do want to ask you from the perspective of the faith-based side of things. And we're going to get a little bit more deeper into this on the second half of the show. But we are seeing a lot of people. We are losing a lot of people that we know. Georgia had a hot spot during the first part of the coronavirus kickoff, which was in Albany, Georgia. And then we had a second hot spot to hit the news, which was LaGrange, Georgia. And now we don't quite fully understand what's happening here in our own city. And we wish we had more direction from leadership. But, you know, at the end of the day, we got to take care of ourselves. But the emotional aspect of it, of seeing so many people on social media dying and passing away, you know, start us on a conversation that we can carry into the second half of this show. What would you just say immediately to the people that are listening on dealing with and working through that pain from these deaths that we are experiencing back to back to back to back to back?
Certainly. So, you know, the interesting thing is so often we forget that God knows it all. And we tend to come to him, you know, really when we're in crisis, when we have the ability to go to him at any time. So what I think we also need to do is to teach our children and some adults how to pray before there's a crisis and how to actually have a conversation with God. One of the things I have shared with other women when I do groups or speaking engagements is that when my husband and I first got married, one of the conversations we had is, I said, you know, you're supposed to pray for me. I'm you're head of the household, so you're supposed to pray for me. And he was like, what? I said, you need to be on your knees praying. Now, we have been together for almost 37 years.
Mm-hmm.
We've been married for, it'll be 30. We knew each other in elementary school. He was my first boyfriend, but that's a whole nother story. but the key is, he had to model for the family.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be the husband. If it's a single mother, it could be the single mother. She can, or he can, or we can teach our children how to pray. That's the first thing. But praying is not all we have to do. You've got to get up. You've got to have some action under and behind that.
Mm.
So you pray, but then there's some action. And then the parent or the person who is helping to oversee this child is to give guidance. We can't do it all for the children. We have to give guidance. So I would say pray together, teach them how to pray, model what you want, and then give guidance. They're watching us, and that's the key. All the stuff that's going on in this news, all the stuff that takes place, all the arguments that take place over the airwaves and on social media, our children are watching. And what will they do? They will emulate that. We're the example. What do you want to improve, Panchamala? I want to learn how to XYZ, you know, whatever it is. But the key is giving them permission to set goals, to have a plan, to follow a daily schedule. And I would even suggest that when we sit with our children and set a goal or set up a schedule, just like in school,
mm-hmm.
you have them set alarms. So from this time to this time, we're doing this. You get the alarm to ring. Then from this time to this time, we move to the next subject. So that's how a schedule is followed. Now, you know, going from there, people are like, well, they get tired. What else can they learn? Or what else can we educate them on? You can educate them on appropriate behavior.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that? You give them scenarios. What would you do if? How would you handle this? And sometimes, again, parents aren't always able to be there with their children, but you could leave a note of a real-life situation, something that has been seen on social media, and just ask, how would you handle this? Write it down. Write out a summary of how you would handle this. Again, that gives you an opportunity to look at how they're spelling, if they're using the correct word. This is how they grow their vocabulary. You teach them what a thesaurus is. Brother Reese, I could go on this forever. This is my passion.
Because I'm just sitting here and I'm just gleaming at the fact that you were just talking about, you know, proactive and positive discipline, and which a lot of people don't understand that, because they think that discipline should be reactionary, and that doesn't have to be that way.
No,
you can start working on issues prior to them becoming a problem with your child. And I know some people have thought that, well, you know, I don't want to introduce it to them. Well, trust me, they're going to see it somewhere.
Absolutely.
Like this weekend, you know, my three-year-old was like, this past weekend, she was telling my wife and I, we sitting there watching a movie. She's like, oh, this movie is getting complicated. Complicated? Wait a minute. What?
Absolutely.
Complicated.
Absolutely.
And so we asked our tutor, we said, you know, is that a new word you like with Catherine? She's like, no, we haven't discussed complicated. I'm like, where does she get that?
Absolutely.
So, they're constantly learning, even during playtime.
Absolutely. Just teaching those large words and then getting them to understand what they mean, using them in sentences, and just showing the actions of what does that mean. Giving me an action situation. It's complicated. Does that mean conflict?
Right.
Let's observe that. Let's do some observation. You put those words in those children in their heads, then you teach them what they mean. So asking, is that appropriate behavior? How would you handle that? You know, that was a conflict. What happened? They got angry. They got mad. Okay, give me another word for that. That's how you start developing, educating children. There are some students, you know, there are a certain amount of words that a child should learn before they go to first grade. I'm not going to get into numbers. I'm just going to say that if we don't work with our children now and practice those things, and it doesn't again, doesn't just have to be a parent. It's anyone who interacts with a child. So often I will say, well, how was school? And usually children say, oh, it was okay. Or they'll say, because they know me, oh, it was fine. Oh, really? What was fine about it? Or it was good. Tell me what was good about it. I don't know. And my response would be, well, you know what? I think I know what school you go to. I'm going to come sit in your classroom. Because if you don't know, I need to talk with them. Okay, no, I know this, Marnie. I know what it is. Okay, tell me. So when you, again, approach a child, ask them questions, and then if it is not an appropriate response, then you teach them how to respond appropriately. But it takes work, and it takes time. Again, something we can't buy. But, you know, it also takes practice. So
absolutely.
When you're practicing the writing or the reading or the understanding or the comprehending, don't forget that there's math. And there's several things on the internet that children can do math drills. You know, you talk about the word integrity. The answers are there, but see if you can do it without the answers. And then I will test you later.
Mm-hmm.
Use the words like test and quiz, even for your three-year-old. This is going to be a test, or this is going to be a quiz. If we use them early, when it comes time when they get older, they won't be afraid of those two words.
They will not be afraid.
And that is so key. Yes, I'm telling you. Let me tell you this. This is just a little side story. I came down to Georgia, and I had to take a test. I was so frazzled because I had to take a driver's test in some time. I flunked the driver's test because I don't drink. And I missed two of the questions that said, what happens if you're drinking? I don't study that because I don't drink.
Wow.
But it was because I heard the word test and automatically zoned out.
Uh-huh.
Missed two words because I was so frazzled because they said, you're taking a test. But if we say the word test with our children, we say basically what you do when you take a test. You need to study before you take the test. Questions, did you study? Yes or no?
Yes or no.
If you did not, what do you need to do? So
you know, you're talking about disarming the word so that it's no longer, you know, something that catches you off guard or puts you in a position to where you're no longer able to operate as you normally would, in which under those normal conditions you would really do well in that situation and creative learning. You know, you've talked a lot about creative learning. You know, my wife, we would be traveling somewhere, you know, just taking a family drive cross state or somewhere, and she would get a pack of Skittles from the store, and she wouldn't just give them to our daughter. She would hold them up one by one, and in order for our daughter to eat it, she had to tell us the color.
Wonderful.
And it was just the creative things like that. But
absolutely.
For anybody here locally, Ms. Marnice, that's listening to you and some of this amazing direction that you have given us, I want to remind them that our public library has a lot of online resources, like,
absolutely,
for instance, books that can be read to the children. The only thing you got to do is pull it up, and you can get a free library card offline at the library website. So, you know, for even if you're that parent, you say, well, I really don't have the time to sit down and read to my child or read with them or go through these words. Well, you can find them that book on the library's toolkit, and they can sit there on that smartphone or on their tablet, and they can be read to, and someone can sound out the words to them. And these are trusted and tested resources. I wouldn't send parents somewhere to where I would be concerned about 10 minutes into the show, some creep walking up on the screen, because we know there are ugly minded people like that out there.
Mm-hmm.
But these are our public library resources that we have paid for with our tax dollars, because our library system here is under our school district. These are resources we need parents to utilize. They must start utilizing those. And then they can do exactly with some of the creative learning that you have talked about. Well, Ms. Marnice, we're reaching the end of the show here, and I just want to give you an opportunity to give us some last words of inspiration. Because, again, there's so much happening, so many challenges, so much economic challenges and death around us and things of that nature. Can you just leave us with a few words? Your folks back here in old middle central West Georgia, leave us with something, please.
Absolutely. Again, thank you so much Mr. Reese, for allowing me to be here and to do this. I want to thank the Davis Broadcasting Company for allowing me as well. But one of the things I just want to leave everybody with is consistency. You can come up with all the plans in the world, but if you are not consistent, a child will recognize that. And that's for anyone who is working with them, whether it be playing or educating or spiritual direction. If you're not consistent, they're going to say, well, this doesn't matter. Second, I'd like to say is patience. Understand that this is different and it can work and we have to work together to make it work, but you have to pack your patience. And then finally, I would say, establish some expectations and teach your children or inspire your children to seek excellence. Not perfection, because practice makes, everybody says practice makes what?
That's it, makes perfect.
It makes perfect, but no, only Jesus is perfect.
Only Jesus
so
is perfect, that's right.
Practice makes permanent or it makes it better. So that's what we have to teach our children. If they are not practicing, it cannot get better. If they don't if we haven't established some expectations for them, how do they strive for excellence? And if we're not patient because we are not consistent, then how are they educated? So I would just leave everybody with the words that God is here. He has not forgotten us. He knows everything that is going on. We have to trust him. But we also have to take the time to guide and help to develop our young children. So, again, I thank you for this time. It is critical that we have these types of conversations, but it is also critical that we are consistent in our actions. So thank you so, so much for allowing me this time, this Sunday morning, to enjoy you and to come home. And also, I wanted to just say, I am from Flint, Michigan. My husband and I both are Flintstones. So we know that we can get through anything. We want to make sure we persevere with our children. So thank you again, Mr. Reed.
Absolutely. And once again, you can go check out Ms. Marnice on our website at www.missmarnice.com. That's missmarnice.com. Yes. Ms. Marnice Roberts, thank you again so much for being here. We greatly appreciate you, and we love you here in these parts. And please, when everything settles down, make sure you come down and visit us. We would love to have a sit-down conversation with you with some people here in the community, okay?
I sure will. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This has been Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. I hope you have enjoyed a very fruitful and amazing conversation with Ms. Marnice, as she gave us so many valuable nuggets and tidbits on how to cope, what to do with our children, and even what to do with some of our own adult lives right now as we're going through the challenge of COVID-19. You do not want to miss us next Sunday. We'll have another exciting show for Sunday, July the 26th, and I look forward to talking with you then. This has been Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. Goodbye.
Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and this radio program are not to be considered necessarily the belief of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversations? Send us an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.